on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, the Reggae Warrior, Ross Peltier, the Italian Stallion, or Mini, Elliot Minchella, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. And we've got the boys in the house, as you've just heard, but we've also got another one of the Bradford Bulls stars, and it's none other than George Flanagan. Give him a round of applause. Yeah, Georgie, step up to the microphone because we're going to address the elephant in the room. We're going to do it. They say if the hardest thing at any one day to do is to eat a frog, then eat it at the beginning of the day. So first we're going to address the elephant in the room. Talk us through what you were going through in regards to you're about to score that try against the other top side in the League One Betfred competition, Doncaster, on the weekend. Talk us through it, Georgie.
I've got no words, to be honest. I can't speak. I've had a lot of questions thrown at me over the last couple of days. Obviously, my social media accounts have been going off the hook. Obviously, when I brought through, I didn't even see anybody at all in my sight. And I think you've got to give a bit of credit to their player, really, for not giving up.
He didn't. Yeah. I've got to admit, because I was watching it at home, sitting on the settee, and I'm watching their winger, and he's just making a beeline for you. Mm. And you're waving to the crowd. You're signing autographs. Someone gave you a pint of beer. You drank all of that, and then the guy came in and picked your pocket.
The thing is, though, he was their left winger as well. So, like, when we brought through, he must have been up in the line. So he must have got some yards back to get, to get on of him. Because obviously, when we brought through, and pickers, with his lightning pace, to leave him in his way, like. But I hold my hands up. It was a stupid, stupid mistake.
It happens, doesn't it?
It does, Robbie.
I mean,
it happens to yours a little bit, Robbie. Well,
I've had more than one moment. We've all had more than one moment. But that happened in the opening Super League season. We played, I think it was the opening game at home. We played London Broncos at home. And we're doing a number on them because they weren't really travelling all that well in 1996. And with about 20 minutes into the game, someone breaks through, puts me through clear into space. No one around me, 20 meters, no one's around me. And I just go to put the ball down with one hand and basketball bounced it off the ground.
Well, at least you went to go put it down the road. Yeah.
And Matthew Elliott was a coach. I got absolutely hammered, hammered off Maddie. What did John say to you? Let me just paint the picture. If those of you haven't seen the footage, just have a look on most timelines because it's one of the most watched rugby league pieces that went around this weekend. George, Pickerskill makes a break through the line, passes back to George, back up the middle of the park. George is running the ball underneath the post. And before he puts the ball down, he starts celebrating. But he slows right up. He was over celebrating. Were you taunting their players?
A little bit. Some of their middles are giving me a bit of jiff in the game. And when I was running past him, I stick my tongue out. But I celebrate every try like it's like I've won a grand final. But to go
they
over
don't
there,
come that often.
It were only 8-6 in the game as well, so it looked like we were winning the game by loads. But to do that, I've got no excuses for it. It was poor from me, but yeah, John giving me a bit of a roasting at half time.
Did he?
Yeah, give me a bit
what
of a
roasting. What'd he say?
I can't say it online, honestly. I'd rather not repeat. But
say it, but take out all the expletives.
One of the dumbest players he's ever coached.
Don't swear.
Yeah, without any of the swearing going on.
What did he say?
Just one of the dumbest players you've done, George. but a few Western jests in there as well. So, at the full time as well, when we got the result, I think everybody were just laughing about it, and John took it in good spirits.
To be honest, we wouldn't have brought you on here and sort of made light of it, because I think you would have been on suicide watch, and then we'd be all huddling around you and cuddling you, because it was at a real poignant time in the game, wasn't it? It was like you guys had just got ascendancy, 8-6.
It was one of the best players we've done all year as well. When we went upfield, it was like one of the best players we've done all year to break a line. So, to go make a monkey of yourself like that.
Where all the game plan comes together. The forwards do their job. All the backs slide into the line at the right time. You trail up the middle of the park like you should do as a good hooker. Just one important thing is putting the ball down, isn't it?
It is, and you know, looking back and watching video as well, I've seen all players like celebrating behind. I think Pickers, when he passed me the ball, he turned round to James Lathwaite, like putting his hand in there, like going, yeah, yeah, and he turns back around and he's like, oh no, what's he just done? So
to be honest. Your foot only just goes. I slowed it down because you get the ball down, but your foot only just goes dead as well. He just pushes you enough just for your right foot just to drag over the dead and ball line.
Yeah, there's two V-stars as well. Like,
did you try and fight? No, I got it down first, sir.
Well, one of their players pushed me and just give me a bit of abuse, and I just had no to offer to him because I thought if I say out here, you know, it's just going to do me.
What were you two thinking?
I just come on pitch. Fourth official told me I'll go up middle, you know, for restart, for kicking everything. and then he's got tagged out like,
come back.
And then I looked at Minnie, and Minnie was like, Minnie wasn't happy at all. He wasn't happy.
I definitely was not happy. I just absolutely lost my head. I was just spraying him. Me and Lee Smith were just laughing, and I would just turn around to Smithy, and I could have hit George, man, on Sunday. Honestly, but.
It just had those sort of moments. But what a win. Mm. I mean, you guys got... Man, you had a big team. You went with size, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was relentless off the bench.
Yeah, we went with three middles. You know, I got in trouble with John as well myself because I did a...
this is a weekly thing.
I did a pre-game interview for Proper Sports, and I said, I reckon we'll go to Doncaster, we'll win comfortably. He didn't like me saying that, but...
It says every week.
It happened, so happy days, yeah. Yeah, we went for a big middle and we rolled them at middle, you know, it showed second half, like we scored.
I reckon your back slit you down a little bit.
Yeah. And the bomb the few tries.
Just finishing. You guys were punching holes in them, rolling them up the field. They couldn't, at the back end of the first half especially, and about 10 minutes into the second half, their forward pack had just gone. They had run out of juice.
Like, we scored one try and then Pickers bobbed that other one where it was. The kick to us, Kirky had a carry, I had a carry, Mini broke, and then it happened twice.
Why didn't Pickers go under the post? why were you thinking, well, I'm going to try and test this defender out?
I don't know.
But everyone's taught to run under the post, make it easy for the kicker.
I don't know.
Like me.
Yeah, we bombed some chances, you know, and it could have been about 40 odd six and look more dominant. We need up points we can get after what happened, so yeah.
Many back over the try line a couple of times. Was it two times?
Yeah, just two this week.
Learn to pass the ball, mate.
Just two this week.
How
mate.
Greedy is he, George?
Nah, one of them was.
He's the greediest player in rugby league, isn't he?
Do you know what? I've got to give Minnie a bit of credit. You know, he's no, I won't blow his pipe too much. But you know, this year I think coming to play with him, you know, he's reaping his rewards for what hard work he puts in. You know, he's one of the fittest players I've ever played with. You know, he's always backing up and he's smart in what he does and he can play in a number of positions. So, you know, credit to Minnie.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Didn't it just get awkward in here?
And I got a tissue.
It's a loving. I like it.
That's what we've got around the squad this year as well. A bit of loving.
Yeah. That's what you're doing, actually. This has only started since, was it 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon? You're going around telling everyone how much you love them. Just trying to make up.
Yeah, just so you don't throw me under the bus anymore. But yeah,
I love these guys, man. They're the greatest players ever.
on the way home, though, on the bus, Mark Dunning showed me a clip of my try because he must have had it on his laptop.
Of your try?
And he even said to me, George, it was definitely a try. Definitely a try.
Oh, okay.
And then, obviously, after... I got off the bus and my phone was just going bleep, 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 bleep. And then I looked at some photos and some of my mates sent me some photos and like paused it where my foot was about half a metre over. Like, so, you know, it was definitely not a try.
I was looking for that as well. And I thought, because for me, the referee was between you and the defender.
How quick was that referee ever disallowing that try, though?
That's why I thought, you know what, he jumped the gun there.
Yeah.
He wanted... it's got one of those comical moments that you kind of want to happen.
I
got to admit, my missus thought I was having a heart attack because I'm sat down, I'm going, no, 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 screaming at the top of my head. Yeah. And it happened because you could see it coming from a mile off.
Where could I come? It would be over.
George is unlucky that we stream all our games on proper sport because Keith Lee Oldham, you know, I still speak to people there. Apparently, Oldham's their number six went intercepted on their goal line, and he went to under sticks and he did a swan dive and dropped it. And no one's seen it because it's not a live stream. So because we live stream our games, everybody's seen it. So unlucky to him.
And then obviously it's been posted on social media as well. So I mean, I think it's one of the most watched things in rugby league this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, do you know, I had to even log out my Twitter account and my Facebook account just because I was getting that many notifications, and you know, I only get 16 gig a day these days. So, you know, no, I had to log out a little bit of that. Yeah, we're getting enough grief on my WhatsApp group, so you know, I had to log out of my social media accounts for a couple of days, and then I've logged back on, and yeah, just hammered me, and you know, there's not I can reply to because I've got nothing to offer.
No, you're right. Now, that was one of the worst tries ever scored in the season in 2018, but you also scored one of the, as a team, actually, that was a real team try. Mikey Woods, hits the ball up.
Front row with a show
first
and go.
Up, and then Peltz comes off the back of that, starts skittling people all over the place, and on the back of that, Mini goes through.
Only halfbacks, though, on it. He ran at halfback.
Listen, right?
Third play merchant, isn't he?
Listen.
Third play merchant.
Listen.
No, to be fair, he must have run over about four men.
It was, and they still didn't tell me taking it around, did they?
This is the figure I remember. People say, oh, you know, you run out wide, you run out halfbacks, this is that. I get there, I create the space, and Minnie goes through their balls.
Gets the glory.
I go where I'm told.
Let's get to point. It's a massive 50-metre overs. Right, Ross, where you going?
All right, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Huddersfield Giants Club Ambassador and see what's going on at the Giants this weekend. So stick with us. But first, we're going to go to the traffic, I think.
It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Aaron Bauer, Elliot Minchella, George Flanagan, and the reggae warrior himself, Ross Peltier. And a little bit earlier, we caught up with Huddersfield Giants ambassador Earl Crabtree and see what he had to say about their new head coach.
Good, mate. Good to speak to you as always.
Mate, it must be exciting up at the club at this point in time. Obviously, you had a very slow start to the season, but with the announcement of Simon Wolford coming in, it must be exciting times. It must be like a fresh breath of air.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with you. I think a slow start to the season is an understatement. We've had an absolute shocking start to the season. We've been hit by injuries. The coach has been sacked and we've lost too many games. So this is a new, fresh start, which is something I think everybody's talking about. And Simon comes over and he's got a good reputation. And a lot of people won't have heard about him before. But from what I've heard from our strength and conditioning performance coach now, Mark Andrews, who I worked under before, he said he's a great bloke for a start and he's very, very good at what he does. He's learnt a lot from Nathan Brown. He talks highly of him as well. So we're all a little bit excited about this. And he's already had a leadership meeting over Skype, getting Danny Brough in and Hinchy in and talking to them. So he's already having an influence within the team. And hopefully that'll be, you know, you'll see that on the pitch as well. So I don't know what the changes are going to be. But by all accounts, he's going to mix it up a little bit, which is probably just what we need.
And one of the advantages, I think, obviously, talking about, and you just mentioned it then, is that he does come from Nathan Brown's stable. Nathan, who is so well and highly thought after at the Huddersfield Giants and created some real success for you guys on the field. I mean, you were under Nathan Earl yourself. What do you think that'll add to Simon as a coach and making the fluency for the players that really were here during that time, you know, like Leroy Cudjoe and Jermaine McGilvery, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I think that one of the first things I noticed about Nathan Brown is how he got everybody on side and you wanted to play for him. I think that was the biggest thing. Within the first few days of meeting him, he came over and had a chat with me and almost pulled me aside and said, look, I've been watching your games. I know what you do well and I want you to do more of that. And I know what you don't do quite as well and we need you to work on that. Straight away, I knew that he'd been watching me. He really understood how I played and what he wanted. And he just kind of gave me the confidence that I could go on and become a better player. I know that's exactly what Simon will do when he comes over. We need to give the players confidence because they have no confidence whatsoever with all the injuries, which has rocked us, our performances. We need a fresh start. We need somebody to come in and actually give us a little bit of faith and something to believe in because at the moment, it doesn't feel like there's any belief within that team, which is sad to see, but it does happen in sport. So we've got an opportunity now to change that.
Well, actually, when you're saying that he was watching you, you're a hard person to miss when you're on a rugby pitch, mate, being one of the biggest rugby league players of all time. On that note, though, you know as well as I do what happens when a new coach is put into play. For some reason, there seems to be an energy rift just drive throughout the team. Is that what you expect to see over the next couple of weeks? Does that make Friday night's game against Widnes even more exciting for the Giants?
I think it does, and I think if I look at it now from a kind of an outside perspective, as it were, this is the first opportunity for the players now to give a good account of themselves. You have to forget about what's happened in the past. There's a new coach in place now. You've got to impress him. So if you want to play, you've got to impress him straight away. And there'll be a lot of young players wanting to do that. And the older ones, the senior ones, and have to be accountable, because there's somebody watching now, and as soon as they're not playing well, they will be gone. Unfortunately, with the injuries, I think a few have been let off in the past with their performances. But we've got a few coming back soon. I think in the next 3 or 4 weeks, we won't be at full strength, but we'll get a few more players back. And that makes it a little bit more exciting. It looks like we might start playing a bit better football as well, which is what I want to see. I want to see us scoring some more points, or some points at least, which would be a great start, and conceding less than 60 in a game. So we've got a lot to fix up, but you know, we are bottom of the pile at the moment. The only way is up.
And just on your experiences at the moment, mate, how's life off the field going for you, and a big game on Friday night?
Well, I keep asking being asked if I know where my boots are and if I could get them on, and I keep saying there's no chance in hell I will be stepping onto that pitch. I've done my bit, and I'm enjoying being off the field. I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing with the sponsors and hospitality and things like that. But it's a tough gig. It really is, especially when the performances are not really helping us off the field. But we are doing our best off the field. As the lads, we'll put the effort on the field and they'll turn it around. So if we all work hard, we all work together, we are a team in this, then hopefully we can progress and get even better. But we've got a long journey at the moment, but I do believe that Simon's the right guy for this. We've already brought in Nathan Brown, who went on to win a grand final in England, and Tony Smith as well. Let's not forget where Tony Smith came from. He was, you know, at the Giants quite a few years ago before going on and winning grand finals and Challenge Cups and everything. So we do have a history of picking some good coaches. The last one didn't quite work out. Hopefully this one does.
All right, mate. Thank you very much for your time, and all the very best of luck this weekend.
Cheers, bud.
And there you have it, club ambassador Earl Crabtree, legend Huddersfield Giants player. Boys, here's a question I want to throw out to you. Huddersfield Giants obviously haven't started the season anywhere near where they would expect it. They've lost their coach halfway through the season. They've got a new coach coming in. What can that do to motivate them?
I think players, you know, it's time for them to impress, new coach, isn't it? You could move up in that pecking order, you know, cement your place for them injured players coming back. It might just give a new sense of hope to the whole place, you know, because there were a lot of stories and you heard about players weren't happy with how Rick Stone won the camp and everything. So, you know, it's just a breath of fresh air. I know with Jeff Toovey leaving and John Keir coming into Bradford, it felt like a whole breath of fresh air, and you know, everyone were excited for it. And Nathan Brown recommended him, you know. Nathan Brown weren't league leaders at Huddersfield, you know. I were part of that set when Nathan Brown were there, and you know, he might come and bring the same culture and hopefully bring the same success.
Aaron, what's the gossip that's come out of Huddersfield since Stone leaving?
Obviously,
as opposed to how the ship was operating.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a pretty tough place to be. I'm not sure whether Stone completely got the whole British mentality. I think we spoke about on the show before, haven't we, that some coaches seem to get it. Holbrook is one, some coaches not so much. But Earl said there it didn't work out for him. It kept them up in the year they brought him in, and then they made the top eight last year. Without being overly harsh at Huddersfield, I'm not really sure what more that group could maybe achieve. Obviously, this year they're doing it really tough because they've got McGilvery, Cudjoe, Ferguson, like a whole edge have been out for quite some time.
But it's not just an edge, it's some of their big name
leaders
as well. Guys on there that lead the team, not only on the field of play during those 80 minutes, but off the field at training. They have that expectation, their level of excellence, their England internationals.
And some players are letting them down as well. I mean, obviously, Brough got himself sent off, didn't he, for dissent, and he got himself banned for a few games. That's
who is another leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Sets the tone.
Marmo, I know he's only 23, but he's been injured. He's been in and out of the team. So Bruno Lawrence has been out for ages. So you can reel off half a dozen, but you know, you've still got to be better than, what, 2 wins from 13 games? Mm-hmm. It's just not good enough for a squad who spend near the cap. You know, let's be honest, there's clubs above them in the league that spend less than them in terms of the cap. And the way they are at the minute, I think Ross is right, the players have sort of got to use this as a rocket to fire up them, really, because if they're sort of sleepwalking towards relegation at the minute.
And you know, that's a very apt word, sleepwalking.
Yeah.
Because we know when we're watching teams that are on it at that point, at whatever point in time, there's a hustle about everything that they do. You know what I mean by the word hustle? Everything that they're doing is just that little bit quicker, little bit more momentum. Everybody's sort of like buying in. When your team does something well, everybody comes together, high fives all the way around. When you defend, you know, you can see that bond. Equally, when you're the third man out of the tackle, when you get up and you hustle back into the defensive line and you get there at speed, is it me or that's something that I've just not seen from Huddersfield this year?
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think that comes with confidence. And obviously, like Aaron said, 2 wins out of 13, the confidence must be on the floor. But with this new coach coming in, it gives everybody a fresh start. Everybody can impress. You know, this coach won't know anybody, you know, he won't know too much about people, will he? So everybody's on a level playing field, and that's only good. Like you say, then they just need to get a win from somewhere, and then the confidence will start to breathe, and then the hustle will come back. But, you know, it's a good thing, isn't it, bringing a new coach? Because, like I said, everybody's on a fresh start, so onwards and upwards, I think, for them. But I'm still a bit worried about them.
Pouts, just quickly, you were there. You were at Huddersfield Giants when Nathan Brown was there. Simon Wolford coming out of Nathan's stable. So we'll have a similar sort of approach to coaching. That's normally the knock-on effect that happens. What do you think? How do you think that'll change the way Huddersfield go about business?
I think obviously they're struggling now with a lot of people that are out, but like we said, Rick Stone might not have understood England, not understood Super League, but whereas he's going to be a direct line to someone who's coaching Huddersfield, who knows the club very well, you know, so that's going to help. I think it'll take time for him to change how they're playing at the minute, because obviously we said there's so many people out, but I can only see it being a good thing that there is that legacy of Nathan Brown and that connection, so I can only see it being good for them.
All right. Well, that's Huddersfield. They play against Widnes on Friday night. So all the best of luck for them. Okay, we're going to go for a break now. And when we come back, we're going to look around the sport and talk about all of the hottest topics. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2. On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the power that is Aaron Bauer, the reggae warrior Ross Peltier, the Italian stallion Elliot Mincella, and George, I can't spake, Flanagan. Hey, what about that? We've been looking at some of your comments coming in. I think we had one from Chris Smith, who's bored at home. I think, what's it, Pouts wants to know if he's cooking any banana bread. He just wants to know, what is Trevor McDonald doing on the show?
Yeah.
Lookalikes.
Got a bit of stick for my glasses there. So.
Are they for real? Do you need actually?
Yeah, the prescription. Like, I legit need them.
Straight from Primark, then.
Nah. I actually need them. I can only see about a meter in front of me. That's why a few knock-ons on a player. But
that's why you just go for. You just see the smaller blokes.
Yeah.
So when George is playing hooker and Elliot jumps in there and he's playing in the halves, if they don't put the ball right in the bread basket, you're done.
No,
and it's their fault because they know you've got a vision problem.
Yeah, can't see it, man.
All right, let's have a look around the sport of rugby league. Look, as the guys were showing you last week, and I'm just holding it up to the camera now, I write out this mad list of things for us to talk about. But I'm going to scratch this one and just let's talk about the top four in the championship. Those teams that are going to put pressure on the Super League clubs. Because Aaron was right. He mentioned it off the back. We were going to have a look, and I think this is more important to talk about because it's come to that middle part of the season where it really starts to heat up. You've got Toronto Wolfpack on 21 points, and they are flying. They're going from strength to strength. They're having no problem with letting players go, paying them out, and bringing new players in. You've got Featherston Rovers, who have an absolutely brilliant season this season also. Toulouse are putting a lot of pressure on all of these teams, and everyone's finding it a real tough place to go to Toulouse and get a win. London Broncos have also started the season really well. Leeds Centurions aren't even in the top four. And, you know, they're one of the big guns of their competition. And Halifax, traditionally one of the top teams. That competition is open to absolutely anyone, wouldn't you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been one of the best championships for being a long, long time. Do you know, we've obviously most of your full-time teams in there as well. Do you know, that's the Toronto, Toulouse, Lee. Do you know, and Lee are just in a bit of form at the minute. I know they're just missing out on that. I think they've won their last few games convincingly. So, do you know, they're going to be a strong contender for that top four as well. But, you know, obviously with your Torontos and your Toulouse, I think they're going to be a top two as, you know, fighting for them bottom place in Super League, definitely.
So is it Toronto's having their first game back home this week against Swinton? Because last week's game against Halifax was down in London. Was that a home game for Toronto, was it? Yeah. Okay, so I'm sure Halifax wouldn't have chosen to go down to London.
So they're home for a week, and then they come back for 3 weeks because they've got Warrington away in the Cup, Magic Weekend against Toulouse, which is another game they've moved. And then,
saying after that, Summer Bash.
Let's be honest, you can't see them losing in Toronto.
They've made the four, haven't they? They'll probably finish top of the comp. You finish in that top two, you get an extra home game. So I think they're probably the only certainty. And I'd go all the way down, looking at the table now, I'd probably go all the way down to maybe Batley, because they're only four behind Lee and Halifax, who you would assume are in the race, but they've got two games in hand on Lee, they've got a game in hand on Halifax, and that's against Rochdale, who can't really buy a win at the minute. So Batley could still be in the mix. I know they got beat up quite bad at Featherstone, didn't they, at the weekend, but I think Toronto are in. I think Featherstone are likely in as well. And then I've got Toulouse, London, Lee, Halifax and Batley. Two of those make it.
Okay, are you guys brave enough to say, to make a call on Toronto will get promoted to the Super League this year?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, they will. Nailed on.
Pretty much, I think they will, though.
They won't even be done yet in terms of what they're trying to do. The Championship teams try and save a bit of cash for the eights, and I think they're well on the way to going up. Yeah, I think more than one could go. I think two, maybe even three could go this year.
So Toronto, probably the favourites, and I think they did they start the season as favourites? No, Lee did, didn't they? As a team, that would be positioned as a number one to go back up. They're not saying that they would. Who else then outside of them? Do you think you're going to see Lee push them their way back into their top four?
I reckon you'll see Lee pushed away at the top four. I reckon Toulouse will hold out this year. I reckon Toulouse will get top four. You know, it's a tough place to go over there in France. You know, it's red hot. They play some attractive rugby. They've got like George Ford in halves, and you know, they've got Rapana from Huddersfield and stuff.
He's out for 3 months now.
They haven't got him.
The fullback's good.
Yeah, they've got
Karelia.
Yeah, they've got.
But they're playing with some confidence and rhythm as well.
I think they could sneak in there. You know, you never know. You could see Toulouse replacing Catalan.
What about them? I mean, Toulouse full time. Yeah, Leeds Centurions full time, Toronto full time. What about Feb? Because they've recruited well. They've got a great young coach in John Duffy. They play some really attractive rugby league. Also, you know, do you think that they could be a serious contender for potentially the upset? Look, these teams that are playing in the Super League that are not doing well at this point in time, they look fragile.
Yeah, figures with Feb as well. Do you know, they're not a full time team. Do you know, but they have got some quality players in there. And you know, like you just said, with John Duffy being in charge of him, I think he's done him the world of good this year. You know, previously with coaches at Feb, they haven't quite worked out, but it seems like John Duffy's doing a great job with all them young lads. And I think they've got a winger there now, Tom Briscoe.
He's apparently coming up to Martin O'Fire's record of consecutive games.
He's equaled that.
Scored
15 in a row. He's scored, and so he needs three more, and he's got the all-time like rugby league record.
But I was talking to some people, and they were saying Fev, they don't want to go full time. They don't want to go Super League because most of their squad wouldn't commit to a full time environment. So if they broke Super League,
with Sheffield, didn't you? When Sheffield went full time for that one year, and their better players had to leave.
Well, let's think about Fev as a marketplace. Let's think about the business of sport. I think the town has a population of 16,000 people.
I think all 16 go watch.
And if you think of the Super League clubs that surround them, there's not a great deal of, you know, as a pipeline to feed that as a Super League club. There's not a great deal of numbers, is there?
Yeah, there's not a great deal of numbers, and you know, it's like some of their best players make quite good money, you know, away from the club. Kind of like the situation Bradford had when we come down to League One. We couldn't go full time because we couldn't attract some of the players who would have come. So it'd be interesting if Fev do break, you know, in that Super 8, if they do get
Super 8. You're full time, aren't you, Pelt?
I mean, I used to have a job with you, but yeah, I'm full time. But yeah,
the thing with Fev is last year, 2 years ago in the eights, the dual reg with Leeds got him a long way, and then when it got to the split, all those players had to go back to Leeds. But now they're sort of topping up with what they've got. I mean, I think the spine's like Thackeray at fullback, Ridyard, Holmes, Keel, Carlisle. It's a really, really good spine. You know, they've got Gazzock in there who's playing really well now, and they've been able to afford to let people like Frankie Mariano go, who went to Donny and played against the Bulls at the weekend. Fev are in a good place. And the thing with the eights is, if it was one up, one down, clubs like Fev and Dewsbury and Batley and Halifax would be writing their season off already, but this structure's ace. You know, it gives them something to aim for. Extra money, extra funding, I'm all for it, and people want to change it. It's mad.
Which anchors into the other conversation about whether or not we should be messing about with the season, which was the original conversation. I would say that the Lords of the Rings had their meeting on Monday. What was the gossip that came out of there? And so, just to paint the picture quickly, all stakeholders, club stakeholders in all three leagues had their big meeting on to start the conversation on where the game of rugby league is going to go. We'll do that after the break. I'm just being told Aaron's telling me we've got to go to a break now. Is that right? We're going to a break now. Okay. I thought I'm still had a minute left. But before we do, let's have a look at the roads.
On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show, live in the studio, Ross Peltier, George Flanagan, Elliot Minchella and Aaron Bauer. And just as we left off on the last segment, we were just talking about what we call the Lord of the Rings meetings, where all the Super League stakeholders, Championship stakeholders, League One stakeholders come together, all the clubs come together, and they're trying to start the negotiations, the discussion about the direction of the sport. So as it stands, as we speak right now, from a TV's investment point of view, Sky Sports have the rights up to 2021. It's 2018 as we speak right now. This is actually around about the time where these discussions have to start, because the negotiations normally start a couple of years beforehand. So I'm going to ask Aaron, what's the gossip? Aaron, who is a journalist, one of the top journalists in the sport of rugby league. Aaron, what's the gossip that's come out of their meeting?
Don't expect major changes. That's the message, really. Sky play a bigger part in these negotiations than people maybe first realise. I know it's all 38 clubs who sit round and have a vote about stuff, but nothing changes without Sky's say-so. Sky have paid a lot of money to screen and broadcast rugby league.
I think the deal was from 2014-15 to 2021, something in the region of $200 million.
Right. I don't know the exact numbers, but I can believe it because it's supposed to be an eye-watering number. And the message from Sky is that it flies directly with what the clubs want. So the clubs will tell you that they don't like the million-pound game. They think it's, you know, terrible for player welfare. They don't like the uncertainty surrounding it. Sky love it. Sky are mad for it because probably the
journalists, I now count myself as one of them as well. We do love it.
Well, the fault of the million-pound game, I guess, is that made a rod for its own back in year one when you had that incredible game between Ulcar and Salford. So
it's
now
year two,
everyone's Wakefield Bradford was year one. Yeah, everyone's hooked. Everyone looks forward to the million-pound game, especially if there's a Super League or two Super League clubs in there. You know, you could have Toronto in there this year, which would ramp up the interest in it. So the parts of the league structure that some of the clubs aren't keen on, Sky actually are really keen on. And I just find it hard to believe, especially now what we're in May now. I find it hard to believe we're not going to have anything similar to this. You know, tell Featherstone, who are looking at an extra funding going into the top four next year, tell Featherstone in June, right, actually, it's one up, one down, we're changing it for next year, sorry. You know, it opens all sorts of minefields and loopholes. It's not going to change. I think we're going with what we are.
You had a good interview with Carl Hall, Doncaster's CEO, this week. He had some nice things to say, didn't he? Well, some strong things to say.
Yeah, he said Super League's scared of the lower leagues, basically. That's why they're trying to ring fence all the money, trying to take the money out of League One and reduce the funding for the Championship. The theory from some clubs is that they want to compete at the highest level with the NRL clubs, but Carlisle's argument, I think it's a fair one, is giving Super League clubs an extra 100-150k ain't gonna be able to.
It's a splash in the pond, isn't it? It really isn't, and I think that is it's a valid argument though, isn't it? Because it's a splash in the pond.
You know, we touched on there's four or five teams in the Championship now. There's four full time teams in the Championship. And potentially clubs like York, Bradford and Doncaster who could go full-time if they go up this year, that are all now massive threats. You know, 5-6 years ago, nobody really in the Championship was a threat to Super Leagues. Maybe only one club at a push, maybe when Lee were winning the Champ every year, they were a threat. But now there's half a dozen clubs, so there's a lot of clubs under threat, and I think they're starting to realise that it might be worth their interest pushing through something by where, you know, they ring-fence the money and they get more money. But the Championship and League One clubs just aren't going to go for it. So, as I say, I think that's why you're going to see a pretty similar structure next year.
Yeah, I think we will see the same structure over the next couple of years. But it's an interesting time to foot, though, isn't there? How do they come together and talk with harmony? How do they speak with harmony with everybody? And this is one of the arguments about our sport, is it's our dirty little secret. When everybody is just looking after themselves, how do we get a unified voice in the sport to make sure that the sport grows forward, but equally looks after the traditional club that is the lifeline producing the talent going up into the Super League?
That's why the CEO appointment's probably the biggest one sport's made for a long time. There's no real leadership at the minute. Look, I know Ralph Rimmer is the interim CEO, but he's sort of been chucked into the role with Nigel leaving. I just think the game's crying out for some fresh approach, you know, someone external appointment to come in and shake things up. Give the clubs from top to bottom, because you know...
You can't... excuse me for cutting across, but it can't happen because that's not the bylaws of the game. The clubs themselves, it's almost that person that comes in has to go from club to club and lobby, romance every single owner of every single club from League One all the way through to Super League.
Yeah, but if you get someone who can do that, I think the Super League clubs have got a lot of say, haven't they, in what goes on now. But that's only concerning Super League. In terms of the whole game, it's the RFL, you know, they govern the sport, they govern the game, and they're in charge of the Championship and the League One clubs, for example, and there's more of those than there are Super League. So if you need majority votes for something and things like that, if all 12 Super League clubs want to cut the funding outside of Championship and League One, well, the 26 clubs outside of Super League aren't going to go for it, are they? So they'll say no, and the RFL have to go with that because they're a governing body. So that's why I don't think you'll get a lot of change, because you've got the Super League clubs pulling one way, but twice as many clubs pulling the other way. Mm-hmm. So they actually do hold quite a bit of the power.
And it's almost because the League One clubs, the Championship clubs, are deemed smaller and the Super League clubs are bigger, but there's more of them. It's almost an even pool.
But they're not, having. There's a lot of them that aren't smaller than Super League clubs now. And I mean, I'm not picking on one Super League club in particular, but someone like Salford, who get 2,500 watching them. You know, you have to ask the question. This is why you need a strong leader. Someone has to be brave enough to ask the question. Would Toronto, Featherstone, London, Toulouse, Lee, York, Bradford, Doncaster spend that money better? Would they spend the money that Salford get better? Would they get more crowds? Would they produce more junior players? Salford don't even have an academy. You know, that's criminal, really, for this modern game. I just think you need someone with strong leadership to ask the questions people are scared to ask.
Yes, but if Salford disappears, then you lose that presence in one of the top three cities in Europe.
But there's still your Oldhams, Rochdales, Swinton,
Manchester.
None of them are playing in the Super League. And you need that presence at the top table.
It's like Salford's presence, they're there, but they're not making an impact. It's like you're there for the sake of being there. They're not there and pulling in fans. They're not there and in. Do you know what I mean? They're there. They're just there. They've been in Super League a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they've made a lot. When Marwan Kukash was involved and at the helm, they made a lot of high profile moves and comments, and they were definitely on the radar. Mm. We had a lot of fun over the show over the last 3 years because of everything that was going on at Salford. But there's a new co in charge now, and I think they need to have time to bed it and see how they're going to grow their club. They understand that they need to put more people on the terraces, but it's a micro stadium. It's only 12,000 people. They can fit into that stadium. I think that's more than doable, because after 6,000 people, it feels like a busy stadium, and that brings in more supporters. Anyway, we're going to move away from the politics of the game. When we look at the upcoming games this weekend, or the top games, it's got to be Rhinos versus the Wolves, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, Warrington form side in the comp. I think they've won 7 or 8 straight. Leeds wobbling a little bit, you know, but they've got some big players back this week. Dwyer's back, Jack Walker's back. I would expect him to go straight back in at fullback. Pateru's back. So Leeds at home, obviously, always a little bit of a tougher nut to crack. So I'm going for the Rhinos here. I think I'll back them to get back on the horse.
No, I reckon Warrington, form they've been in, I don't see Leeds beating them, to be honest.
But you know, you were beating Chris Hill last week and your stomach on the ground, quick play the balls, you know what I mean?
But I'd never want a Leeds team to win anything ever, so that's
it. It's a true blue Bradfordian.
Yeah, I'll probably go with Warrington as well, just for the form they're in. Aaron just said, I know that Leeds will be a tough nut to crack, but for me it's Warrington.
Yeah, Warrington by 1 point, I think.
Oh, 1 point. I tell you what, he's put that out there. Okay, well, one of the other interesting games for me, look, and it depends on how you look at it, but it's Bradford Bulls at home to West Wales. Now, getting pumped 144 points by York last weekend, does that not set a target for you guys?
We'll do them by 200. No, I'm only
joking. JK, you heard it first. Oh, wow.
No, we publicise that.
We'll do him by 200.
Doesn't help himself.
No, we just can't.
Is the score at all a factor? If you look at the table, you guys are chasing York City Knights by what, 70 points?
Aaron said, Unzert can be a tough game for York. If York and Unzert are within 10 and we have put 60 odd past West Wales in happy days, so I'm not looking at that 144. That's just one of them crazy scores.
There's only 7 games gone. It's a long year. Like, fair play to York putting that score in them, but you know, it's a long year. They've still got to come to us and play some other top teams. So no, it doesn't really matter. As long as you get 2 points, I'm happy.
All right, another interesting game, and just a quick one on this one is London Broncos at home to Lee.
Yeah, 4th v 5th, isn't it? Obviously Lee's starting to piece some form together. I think they beat London quite well in the cup the other week, but you know, London have got that plastic pitch, aren't they? That they seem to play a lot better on. It seems to bring the best out of them. So I think they'll give Lee a bit of a game. But yeah, come the split, this could be a game you look back on and say it's pretty vital. But I'll go for London, I think.
Minute.
Yeah, it's a big 4-pointer, isn't it? Because Lee could overtake them if they win. So no, I'm going to say Broncos win on that pitch.
Georgie, quick.
Yeah, I'll go Lee win.
Lee.
All right, all the many thanks to everyone listening at home. Many thanks to the boys being in the studio here again this evening. Nothing but rugby league, and we love it, so we love you as well. Thank you for being with us.
Listen back to today's show and all previous Robbie Hunter Paul shows at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.